All right, we read this account in the life of Christ. It says that he was talking to his brethren, and I believe, and it says there that his brethren neither did his brethren believe in him. I think he was talking to his brothers, his stepbrothers, his half-brothers, whatever you want to call them, had the same mom, but a different dad. Joseph was their dad. Of course, Jesus didn't have an earthly father. And I don't know where his disciples were. I sort of think they were with him when he was having this conversation with his brethren. And I sort of, because they were most of the time they were with him. And I think when he told his brothers that he wasn't going to the feast, that he told his disciples at the same time. And when he said to his brethren, you guys go ahead. You guys go on ahead because I'm not known. Now, if you read the rest of the chapter, he did go and made himself known to the crowd and taught and preached. But he told his brethren and he told his disciples, you go on ahead. I'm not going to go. And I'm sure somebody asked the question, well, what should we do? I mean, you're with us most of the time and you're our leader. You're our master. What should we do till you get there? And again, he said, look, my time has not come yet, but your time is always ready. And what I believe that what Jesus was saying to his disciples was, look, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to come to this feast, but you're going to go. And what I want you to do, because your time is already here, my time's not here yet, but because your time is always ready, I want you to do what you see to do. I mean, I want you to live by whatever truth that I've taught you up to this point. And so whatever opportunity that you see when you go into Jerusalem to this feast, whatever opportunity you see to do good, just go ahead and do it. Do the things that I've taught you. Do the things that I've been an example to you to do to other people. And again, I'm not going with you. I'm not going to be there with you. But until I get there, just keep doing what you know to do. I'm not going to tell you when I'm coming. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to get there. But until I get there, just keep being about what I've taught you to be about. Just keep doing the things that you know to do, every good thing that you find to do. Just keep doing it until I get there. Now, I have three observations, and then I want to come back and make three applications. So I want you to notice, first of all, that Jesus did not give them any special instructions. He did not tell them to go in Jerusalem and preach. He did not tell them to go into Jerusalem and heal people. He did not tell them to go in Jerusalem and have a Bible study. He just told them to go there and whatever good they saw to do, just to go ahead and do it. Whatever opportunity they saw to serve him, just go ahead and take that opportunity. If they saw somebody that was hungry, feed them. If they saw somebody that was cold, clothe them. If they saw somebody that was fallen, lift them up. I mean, the things that they had seen Jesus do, he said, just go ahead and keep doing those things. I don't want you to do anything special. I don't want you to do anything big. I just want you to keep doing the things that you've seen me do. Second observation, they couldn't understand and see the big picture. They knew that Jesus was up to something. And again, you read the rest of the chapter, you find out what he's up to. But he's always up to something. Jesus always had something planned. He always had something that he wanted to accomplish. The disciples couldn't see it in this at this time. They could not see what he was going to do. They could not get the big picture. And what he was telling them when he said, hey, my time's not come yet, but your time is always here. Your time is always ready. Even though you can't see the big picture, even though you don't know what I'm going to do later on, even though you don't understand how it's all going to fit together, just keep doing what I told you and taught you to do. Again, if you see an opportunity, take that opportunity to help somebody. Take that opportunity to love somebody. Take that opportunity to encourage somebody. Take that opportunity to lift up somebody that's falling. And so, number three, observation number three, They were supposed just to keep doing the things that they had done ever since they had been with Jesus. Again, nothing extra special, nothing out of the routine, but the routine things that made up their life day to day with Jesus. Feeding the hungry, clothing the cold, visiting those that were downtrodden, helping the orphans, providing for the poor. Everything that Jesus had exemplified for them, everything that Jesus had taught them, he said, look, I'm not going to with you, not going to go with you. I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to get there. Just keep being about the things that I've told you to be about. Tonight I preach on the subject, he's not come yet. He's not come yet. We know our Savior's coming back. I believe the next thing on the calendar of events that's going to happen is the rapture. I believe he's going to come and call the Christians out of this world. But he hasn't come yet. And I believe that his message to us tonight is the same message that he gave to the disciples. He says, you don't know when I'm coming back. I'm not going to, and I don't believe he knows. I believe the Father knows, and one day up in heaven, the Father will turn to the Son and say, okay, go get them. It's time to bring the children home. And Jesus said one time, nobody knows the time, not even me. Only my Father, which is in heaven, knows when I'm coming back. And so he says to us, I can't tell you when I'm coming back. I'm not going to, if I could, I wouldn't tell you when I'm coming back. And you know what we do if we knew when he was coming back? I tell you what we do. We'd wait till a week before he comes back and get busy. I mean, that most of us are procrastinators. And we would just wait, say, well, we know he's coming back the last week in October, so about the third week of October, I'll get busy. That's why Jesus didn't tell us when he's coming back. He could come back at any time. He wants us to be busy all the time. He could come. I mean, he could call us away, and the opportunities that we would have to witness to our family, to witness to our neighbors, to witness to our friends would be gone. Do you ever stop and think about it? You're not going to get to witness to anybody in heaven. I mean, everybody's going to be saved there. If you're going to win somebody to the Lord, you need to do it now. Because when you're raptured, we're going to have an opportunity to praise the Lord. We're going to have an opportunity to testify about our salvation and the good things that he's done for us in saving us. But we're not going to have any opportunity in heaven to lead somebody to the Lord. If you want to do it, you better get busy doing it now. And so he says, you don't know when I'm coming back. You don't know the time. And my message is real simple tonight. It's the same message that he gave to his disciples. Just be about the things that I've taught you to be about until I come. He's not come back yet, but he's coming. And we need to be about those things that he's told us to do in this book. So I have 3 points tonight, 3 applications tonight. Number one, so he's not come yet and given you any special instructions. God comes to some people and gives them special instructions about things he wants them to do. Some people he calls to be pastors. Some people he calls to be missionaries. Some people he calls to other special lines of duty that he wants them to do. But for most people, God doesn't come and give you something special to do. He wants you to be about the things of life, helping other people that everybody is called to do, that everybody has a responsibility to do. And so again, maybe he's not called you to do any big thing. Maybe he's not called you to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist. But he has called us to do some things in our everyday life to represent him in this world and to tell people about him. God is not looking for people waiting for great orders or for great duties. God is looking for people who take the opportunities before them and do what they're supposed to do every day, just like he taught us to do. I know I met a young man, it's been several years ago. He was a good Christian. He grew up in a Christian home. And he came to me because he wanted counseling on what he should do with his life. And we sat down, and I said, well, what do you think you should do? He said, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm waiting for God to call me to preach. And when he calls me to preach, I'm going to get busy serving him. And I said, well, what are you doing now? He said, well, I'm not doing nothing. I'm waiting for him to call me. I said, I don't think he is going to call you. I don't think God calls people that are waiting for the call. I think God calls people that are busy about the Lord's business. And when he sees they're faithful and when he sees they're busy about his business, he'll say, hey, I can use them to be a pastor. I can use them to be a missionary. I can use them to be an evangelist. And so maybe he's not called you to any of those things. Maybe you're a dad. And called you to be a pastor. Hadn't called you to be a missionary. Hadn't called you to be an evangelist. But he has called you to be a dad. You need to do the things that he's instructed us to do about being a good dad. Go to work to support your family. Raise your children. Be a good husband. Be a good neighbor. Pay your debts. Love your wife. Do the dishes. I thought I'd get some amens from the ladies on that. Are you awake tonight? Ladies, he may not have called you to be a missionary. He may not have called you to be a missionary wife. But he's called you to be a wife. He's called you to be a mother. Be a good mother. Be a good wife. Teach your children. Keep the house clean. Cook. Cut the grass. Amen. There's an amen from a man. The rest of you are cowards. Again, it's not a deep message. It's a simple message, but I think it's a tremendous truth. Don't sit around waiting for God to call you to do something big. Get busy doing the things that you already know that he wants you to do. And if you're busy doing those things, maybe he will call you to do something big. Maybe he will call you to be a pastor. You know, when God called me to preach, I thought it was the greatest thing in the world that my church let me preach to the juniors. I mean, I had no idea that I would ever pastor a church. I was happy just preaching to junior church. And when we lived in Ypsilanti, I had the assistant pastor of the church and I, we would alternate preaching to the juniors. And I always liked it when the pastor was gone because the assistant pastor would fill in and I got to preach to the juniors another time when it wasn't my turn. I had no idea that God would ever call me to pastor a church. I had no idea, not even a dream, that God would use me to pastor a church like this. I was just having fun preaching to juniors. And again, my style of preaching, that's where I learned to preach, preaching to juniors. Those little ones, man, if you don't catch their attention, they're going to quit listening. And if you go much past 15 minutes, they're going to quit listening. You wonder why I preach short sermons? Blame the juniors. I mean, they're the ones that taught me that because they turn you off after about 15 minutes. But I had no idea that God would say, okay, now I got something bigger for you. I got something else I want you to do. That's the way God works. He's not looking for people that are sitting around waiting for special orders from headquarters. We may never get any more orders from headquarters. I want to tell you, we got enough to keep us busy. We got enough to keep us busy already in this book. And so, again, he's not come yet. And so until he comes, let's just keep doing what we know to do. Second application. So he's not come yet to show us the whole picture. Just keep busy doing what you're supposed to do. Just keep being busy taking the opportunities that he puts in front of you. I don't know what's going to happen in the world tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen next week. I don't know what's going to happen next year. I mean, I read the newspaper, I listen to the news just like you. I think we're getting close to Jesus coming back, but I don't know. And I don't know what he's going to work in this earth before he comes back. I don't know what he's going to accomplish in this place before he comes back. I have no idea what he's going to accomplish with us as a church before he comes back. And so, but because I can't see the big picture doesn't mean that I should stop doing the things that I know he wants me to do. I know as a church, he wants us to minister to people. He wants us to love people. He wants us to care for people. He wants us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. We're going to be busy doing those things, even though we may not understand how it fits in with the big picture. We may not understand what he's going to do completely. When we don't need to. We just need to keep busy doing the things that he's given us to do, that we know to do, that he's instructed us to do, that he's commanded us to do. We just need to be about doing those things. And then application number three. So he's not come yet to deliver you. We have some folks in our church that are bearing burdens tonight. There's some things going on, and many of you don't know about, and you shouldn't, because they're private things, but there's some folks in our church that are carrying some heavy loads right now. We prayed. I've asked God to relieve those burdens. I've asked God to work, in some cases, in a miraculous way to meet the need that they have in their life, but he hasn't answered that prayer in some cases. He hasn't taken that burden. And so I say to you tonight that I still have that load, still have that burden, and are waiting for the Lord to come back to take that burden away. Don't quit. Don't say, Lord, well, I'm just going to wait until you take this burden away, and then I'll get busy serving you. No. Just keep serving him. Just keep doing the things that he's instructed us to do. He may come and lift the burden, and that would be a wonderful thing. Or he may call you to bear that burden until he takes you out of this world. Let's just continue to trust him. Continue to be obedient. And stay busy in what he's instructed us to do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 8, part of that verse says, there is no discharge in this war. There's no retirement in this war. You never get to retire being a Christian. You never get to quit being the army of the Lord. As long as you're on the face of this earth, God has something that he wants you to do. It may not be a big thing, and we may not understand how it fits in with the big picture. But we know the things that he wants us to do. And my point is tonight, just keep at it. Just keep at it. Just keep doing the things that he wants us to do. He's not come yet. He will one day. He'll come back one day. We'll see him face to face. But until that day, our time is already. Our time is here. We need to stay busy for him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of it. And I know this has been a real simple message, but Father, I think it's a truth that we need to be reminded of every now and then, that we just need to keep at it. You're going to come back. We don't know when. You're going to come back. And Father, until that day, help us to be about the things that you've instructed us, commanded, told us to do in your word. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Holy Spirit, that you've been talking to them, show them that they're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. But Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the price. He shed his blood, as Ruth Ann sang about a moment ago. And that blood, even though it was shed 2,000 years ago, it has not lost its power. It still has power today to save, just like it did the day after Jesus shed it on Calvary. And I pray, if there's just one person here tonight that has never received him as their Savior, that right now, Holy Spirit, you would confront them with their need for a Savior, and they would pray and ask Jesus to be theirs. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And I pray, if there's just one here tonight that's never received him, they would right now. And in just a second, walk the aisle so that we could rejoice with them in the decision that they've made. Bless this time of invitation. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.